That's us, or that's me anyway. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EA Radio. Joining me right now, as he does every day at this time, Justice Sanchez is in studio. Morning,
Good
Justice.
Good morning.
You've been working on this segment all week long.
Yeah.
Which called Plain People. That's what we've dubbed it anyway, what you've dubbed it. Really cool segment. You've been going out talking to people about their aircraft, about their air venture experience, just about, hey, what are you doing here and how'd you get here?
Right. There's stories that you wouldn't expect, like, you probably saw the Model Ts running around here. Didn't know about that until I asked the guy.
Cool.
And then we also talked to somebody at the craft tent. And then some plane people, or like people that own planes, and yeah, it's been really good so far.
Yeah, no, it's been a really cool idea that you actually came to me with. I can take no credit for it. We had similar thoughts, but just never put anything together. So it was good to see you take the reins, and I know we all appreciate it. It's been made for some really interesting content that
I like
we'll be able
so
to listen
far.
To for years to come, actually.
Right.
Additionally, if you haven't noticed, if you are following our Facebook page, you'll see that Justice has been posting some photos of the people he's been interviewing along, I'm going to say this even if it's not true, along with links to the audio. And if not, we will make the links to the audio.
We're going to make that happen.
I know the EA web department's a little behind on our interviews right now. We're still waiting for Wednesday and Thursday to populate, but they have them, and they should soon. But all of Monday and Tuesday's content is already on the web for anybody interested. At eaaradio.net.
And then I think, well, on the Facebook page right now is I have the photo and then kind of a standout quote from the interview. And we'll get the link to the full interview soon.
Soon. Real soon.
Soon.
So who'd you talk to most recently?
Most recently, I was wandering around in the Warbirds area. And you see those cutoff bugs kind of wandering around throughout AirVenture.
Everywhere,
basically. And I saw a guy there, he was just chilling in it, so I'm like...
Volkswagen bugs. For those not familiar, those who have never been, there are a lot of these old, God, what would they be, like 60s, 70s?
Yeah.
Volkswagen bugs? Yeah.
Yep. And then what they do they chop the top off and then put a canopy
and
on it.
And remove the doors, usually.
And the doors, yes.
And then, yes, some have a canopy. Do they all have canopies, Dave? Digital Dave is popping his head in the control room. I often see them without, so I never know if they...
That's true.
Yeah, just talk.
I grew up on Volkswagens.
Did you? Interesting.
I was in the maintenance shop the other day, and they had a couple of engines laying in the back of a Gator that they were trying to tear apart. And I'm like, oh, dual port. That's late model. Oh, single port. Where'd you find that thing?
So they're all chop top.
Yep.
They're all missing doors, and they all have canopy tops, whether they're up or not, because they often take them down.
Yeah.
So who'd you talk to up there?
I ended up talking to Dennis Simpson. He's a co-chair for the Warbird Security and Personal Safety, I believe that's what it's called. And he was a really nice guy, and we'll just hear from him right now. You're tuned in to EAA Radio. My name is Justice, and I'm here with Dennis Simpson. He's the chairman of Security and Ground Safety. Introduce yourself, and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, I thank you for doing this interview, and I am Dennis Simpson. I am from Portage, Michigan, and I've been doing this for over 40 years. I used to fly in the air shows here in the 86, lost my medical, and then I started working on the ground system here. So enjoy it. I'm up here for 2 weeks to set up the first week for the convention following the second week.
So how did you originally get into flying and aviation and then also AirVenture? How did you first start coming here?
Well, I first started flying in 1961 and got my license then. And then it graduated from lighter aircraft into the heavier Warbird aircraft.
Did you fly the Warbirds in the show then? Is that what you were doing?
Right. I flew an AT-6 in the air shows.
Can you tell me a little bit about, right now, for the people listening on the radio, we're sitting in one of the Volkswagen bugs that are kind of cut off and got a canopy on them that you see driving around. There's quite a few of them, but this one in particular, why don't you just explain it to me, because I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, on the VWs that have been chopped, channeled, and new tops put on them, they're controlled by EAA, and I'm not sure how many there are. It could be 26 or more. and each division and some of headquarters drive these so that they can work in the convention. And it helps a great deal to be able to move about, and the VWs move about very well in the crowds. So this particular one belongs to Warbirds. It's the one that's issued to me every year. It'll be used 2 weeks out of the year, and then it's stored inside for the rest of the year. And I have heard that occasionally EA lets it go for a parade someplace, but normally it's just 2 weeks in use and rest of the time in storage.
You've been coming to AirVenture for quite a few years now. What are some of some of your favorite memories you have throughout the years?
Well, I was flying before it came here. I was going to Rockford when the EA was there, and I was flying the lighter aircrafts, J-4s, and air coupes, and airplanes like that, the Luscombs. And then I got all excited about midget Mustangs. And I flew a midget Mustang for 18 years, and I flew the AT-6 for about 7 years. So I've had a lot of little airplanes in between that time. And since I got involved with the AT-6, I've stayed mostly with the Warbird group. So that's what's the fun part. And I guess the AT-6 provided me with a camaraderie with pilots that lasted longer than my ability to have the license to keep flying them, or the medical to keep flying them. I still got my license, just lack of a medical.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things that I've heard a lot from people here at AirVenture is somebody told me that planes are about 10% of AirVenture and people are about 90%, because, you know, it's almost like you see a specific family for once a year for about 2 weeks or so.
That's true, very true. And especially if they got a lot of gray hair, you know they're up here, because some of these people they only see them once a year, and they look forward to meeting with them again.
All right, Dennis, been great talking to you. Hope you have a good rest of AirVenture.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Cool. There we go. That was Dennis Simpson. He is the chairman of the Warbird Security and Personal Safety. You can probably catch him cruising around on his Volkswagen Bug. That's kind of a brown color, I believe.
That's what I was going to ask, yeah. Because they all have distinct colors, and yeah. I know certain areas have are painted up in a particular way.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit while the interview was playing. Comm Center, for example, who's referred to as the Green Gang because right. of the hats and whatnot that they wear, has Green One that was recently retired with the passing of longtime chairman Ron Scott, Scotty, for those of you that knew him. That was really cool. That actually, if you go to our page, earadio.net, you can see Green One because it was prominently featured in our staff photo this year. And for those of you that don't understand why, EA Radio actually rose from the Comm Center. We were part of that at one time. Until, you know, and we started to, and it wasn't so much a distancing of ourselves, but we had different missions. So mm-hmm. the groups kind of split. And with Jim and I, we became the first chairman and vice chairman of EA Radio just a few years ago, actually. I mean, it's only been, I want to say, 5 or 6 years as chairman, where we were established as a completely separate group from the Comm Center. But that's where our roots lie.
That just happened in the last, 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. Until that point, we were still considered part of the Comm Center, at least organizationally. Again, we had been doing separate missions for I don't want to say missions, it's kind of a misnomer, but we had separate tasks for quite a while, but that's where we began.
They basically handle all the communication.
Yes.
Internal communication?
They handle the two-way radios we have on the grounds. They handle the PA stand. They handle... back in the day, this used to be the single largest temporary installation of payphones anywhere.
Wow.
So there are a lot of phone lines in the grounds. If you talk to some of the guys that have been around forever, like Susan's father, Jim, he can tell you where every dang wire is in the ground on these grounds. It's kind of a strange way to put it, but that's exactly it. And it's pretty cool. So a lot of those guys have it. I don't believe they give out bugs anymore.
Oh, that's
but they still have them. For the, you know, for the long timers that have been here, they're still doing that for sure. There's so many groups on the grounds, there would be so many bugs. I don't know how they would maintain them all. Huh. Elton has one. He's the guy. God, what do you know what group he is technically? Elton. He used to be a departure briefing in the little shack right next to our old building, slider. Your dad's probably cringing in the lobby, I'm sure, but because he knows. Anyway, he's one of the chairmen. He has one that looks like the Spirit of St. Louis, the plane that Charles Lindbergh first flew across the Atlantic. It's kind of cool. It's silver. It says the Spirit of St. Louis on the side, and it's got the sort of checkered metal pattern that the front of that plane had.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. And they're all, you know, a little different.
I like that real, that blue one. There, I see a blue one. I think it might be the Welcome Centers, maybe.
That might be. Does Jack have a red or a blue one? I think Jack has one. I don't know that he drives it much, but traditionally the heads have red. Tom had a red one, which I believe has been retired permanently. Let me get that right. Paul had red one. Tom had red three. What's
one
up?
One of those was on display in the museum last year.
Yes, that was red one. That was Paul's. That's what I was trying to come up with. And then Tom's was red three. I'm trying to think. God, I used to know a lot more about these, but they're really cool, and it's kind of a... I'm glad that they still have them around. I'm glad that they still maintain them.
Right.
In the off-season, once I wandered into one of the hangars where they had tons of them parked in one space, and it was just... I wish I would have snapped a photo, because it was just kind of a cool sight to see, but...
That's going
to
be somebody's next task, is getting a photo of each and every one.
Absolutely.
Archiving that.
Well, thanks again, Justice. I look forward to hearing your segment again tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be here.
We'll see you then.
Hanging out.
Up next, we have Hal and Random Person here on the Morning Pre-Flight. This is EAA Radio.